In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. And today's Gospel we see our Lord as 12 years old. He is taken to the temple. He remains behind. And there is a wonderful lesson there. We see the manifestation of his divinity because he stays and talks with the wise men, with the priests, with the elders. And everyone is astonished. But what I would like to focus your attention upon this morning is just one little passage about the Blessed Mother. Yes, we honor the entire Holy Family, but I see the Blessed Mother, if not Christ, at least the Blessed Mother as the heart, or second to Christ. And it says of her that she heard these words of her Son, and she kept them in her heart. She pondered them. And I think this is a wonderful lesson for us because all too often we hear things and we never really pay attention. We never consider what they mean or what we are supposed to do about them. I look back in the Old Testament and we have the law of Moses. And we forget this is not the law of Moses. Moses didn't create these laws. He was just the instrument. These are the laws of God. And the Israelites had these laws of God, but they did not know what they meant. They couldn't keep them. These laws of God became laws of death and destruction for these Israelites. Why? Because they observed the letter of the law and not the spirit. Why couldn't they observe the spirit? Because they were not pondering the words of God. They heard them. And I know we go through the same thing in trying to teach our children. We give them the catechism. And if I were to ask any of them, I'm pretty certain they can tell me the 10 laws, the 10 commandments that God gave us through Moses. I'll bet if I asked them, they could give me the 6 laws of the church. But I wonder, how do the 6 laws of the church differ from the 10 commandments that Moses has given us? I tell you, they both come forth from God. They're both the works of God. And we should contemplate them. We should dwell upon them. We should take our cue from the Blessed Mother and dwell upon them. Meditate upon them. Think upon them. What does God want me to do? What does this mean? How should this change my life? When Christ had come, the wise men have heard the law of Moses. Wise men have commented upon it. But Christ has to come and tell all these learned men, you know the law of God. It says, thou shalt not kill. I'm going to tell you, that's not enough. The law goes beyond that. It's not enough just not to physically kill someone. He says, I tell you that if you kill someone, as the law says, you would be guilty of the fire of Gehenna. I'm going to tell you something more. If you are angry with your brother, if you harbor hatred in your heart, you are already guilty. You have to look beyond the letter of the law. What is the spirit of the law? When God said, thou shalt not kill, he is telling us, you need to love your neighbor. And immediately the scribes and Pharisees, but who's my neighbor? My family, my friends, my co-workers? And our Lord gives them the parable of the man who fell among robbers. Who is it that has proved to be a neighbor? The one who showed love, compassion, empathy, sympathy. The one who loved his neighbor or loved the man who fell among the robbers. He is the true neighbor. He is the one who has fulfilled the command not to kill. And our Lord goes beyond. He says, I tell you, love your enemy. Do good to those who persecute you. This is what the law means. And you'll never figure that out unless you take the time to ponder these things in your heart, in the quiet of your mind. You have to think of these things that God has said. I mentioned the six laws of the church. These laws are meant to give life. Why does the church, why does God? Because it is God who gives us the law. It's not the church. The church is just telling us what God wants us to do. Why does God want us to assist at Mass on all Sundays and holy days of obligation? What's up with that? Why do I have to fast and abstain on the days appointed? Why do I have to contribute to the support of the church? Why do I have to receive communion during the Easter season? Why must I confess my sins at least once a year? Why must I observe the laws of the church concerning marriage? Did I get them all? Was that six? Okay. Why? Well, I ask you, do you need to be told that you have to take a shower or a bath at least once a year? Is that your rule at your house, once a year? I say, well, once a year, our Holy Mother, the Church, says you need to wash your soul. Would that be enough for you to wash your body once a year? You say, oh, no, of course not. But our Lord says, that's the minimum you have to do. Wash your soul at least once a year. Why? Because your soul's dirty. Why do you have to take a bath? Because you stink. Think about it. We take care of the body, we need to take care of the soul. Your parents have to command you, eat your dinner. Why? So you can be healthy, so you can be strong, so you can grow. So I don't have expensive doctor bills. So we don't end up in the hospital or the emergency room. Our Lord wants us to take care of our soul. But we don't see that when we're children and we memorize the catechism, we memorize the answer. We're like those in the Old Testament. We know the law. We have it, but we've never really understood it because we have yet to ponder it. And I'm not telling children they don't have to memorize their catechism. Because if you memorize it, I'm hoping that you will begin to ponder it, begin to consider it, think about it, dwell upon it, pray upon it, so that now the meaning will become clear and you will begin to understand, you will begin to see. The truths of God don't really come to us all in a flash, but God reveals more and more the closer we draw to Him, the more mysteries that He unveils. And God is infinite. There is no end to the discoveries that we can make. But we're never going to see, we're never going to discover unless we begin to ponder these words. Unless we take seriously the scriptures. the epistles that we hear on Sundays, the gospels that are read to us. These are the words of God. These are like little nuggets of diamond or gold. And we should treasure them. We should take them into our hearts, into our minds, and keep them there. And take them out and look at them. Consider them. The gifts of God are all around us. But we never stop to see them. We never stop to consider them. And so the life of God dries up and it shrivels in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. We say, why don't we believe? Why don't we understand? Why do we keep repeating these things over and over again? I think it is probably a common complaint of children and even the adults. I encourage you to take up your missal and follow the Mass. Why? It's the same thing every time. Isn't it? There's nothing changed. I can just memorize those prayers, have you? Have you considered those prayers? I can tell you as a young man that I sat and read the missal really fast because I couldn't keep up with the priest. And then I had an older sister. I could look over and see what page she was on. We had the same missal, and then I could turn to those pages and read really fast. You see, I assisted at Mass. All my attention was on trying to keep up, trying to read fast enough. And I'm not going to say that God was displeased or that it was a waste, but those are the learning stages that we go through. But have you considered the prayers at the foot of the altar? If I were to question you, what psalm is said at the beginning of every Mass? Do you know what number psalm it is? Probably printed right in your missal. At every Mass, it's the same one, except for Masses of the Dead, the Requiem Masses. Psalm 42. I go unto the altar of God, to the God who giveth joy to my youth. And then we enter into the same spirit of King David, praying to God, discern my cause from that of all the other nations. Make a judgment between that, but enlighten me. Give me the grace. What is King David praying for? What are we praying for as the priest comes to the altar? Before he ascends the altar, where he's going to give sacrifice to God, where we are going to worship God. What is this Psalm 42 all about? It is about leaving the world behind, at least for this brief moment. We're asking God to help us, to give us light, to give us insight, to give us understanding that we're leaving the world behind and we're coming to the altar of God to offer sacrifice, to worship Him, to love Him. We're offering to God the Father His only begotten Son in sacrifice. And we're asking God to help us forget about the world. Forget about the weather outside or hunting trip or what we've got to do at work or at school. What project is waiting for us? We're asking God to help us leave all that behind and help me give all my attention. Help me to ponder these words. Help me to understand. And I ask, have we ever reach that goal? We've prayed for it, we've asked, but do we understand? If I were to ask you the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, how many times have you said those words? You've memorized that prayer. But have we ever really pondered those words? Have we ever really considered those words? These are the words of God. This is how Christ is telling us we need to pray. And shockingly, I'm going to tell you, if you've memorized those words like a parrot and repeat them, like pushing the button play on your tape recorder, okay, I can repeat these words over and over again. We deserve the condemnation of God. These people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. These words need to be pondered. We need to dwell upon them, not just rush through them, but to make them our own. This is the example the Blessed Mother gives us. The entire life of Christ is put before us through the ecclesiastical year. The scriptures are there. What is lacking? Our attention. Our focus. As I mentioned, there's nothing wrong with the rote memorization, that learning, but that's not the end. I memorized my catechism, I'm done. That's all I need to do. No, you've just begun. Now that you know these answers, think about them. What does this mean? How am I to apply this in my own life? What is God telling me? And your whole life is set before you. I'm often amazed when you study theology and you see the history of theology and what the fathers of the church went through to develop this dogma. And we find the concise dogma right there in one little sentence in our catechism. And our children memorize that one little sentence. We have no idea of how much work and labor went into that one little sentence to find the exact words, to phrase it in exactly the correct way. We memorize it and we think, okay, I got it. Let's move on. And we don't realize the treasure that's in our hands. We don't appreciate it. And this Feast of the Holy Family, what I'm asking of you is to hear those words of the Gospel where it says his mother kept these words in her heart. She pondered them. She treasured them. And let us begin to do the same with all the wonderful things that God has given us. All his laws, the catechism, the gospels. And I can expand that even into the world around you. All of nature speaks to us of God if we will only listen. If we will only ponder with loving hearts, holding these things in our hearts and our souls, and God will begin to say, ah, look at this. Wow, I've never seen that before. Even though you've seen it many times, it is as if you've seen it for the first time because now God is revealing himself to you. And once you see this manifestation of God, if you ponder just a little bit more, he's going to show you even more. And we can delve infinitely into the divine, into God. But it begins by stopping once in a while, leaving the world behind, and really pondering, thinking about what we're praying, what we're saying, what we're doing, what God wants of us when He's given us His Holy Mother, the Church. And she speaks to us, not her own words, but the words of Christ. She gives us not her own doctrines, but the doctrines of Christ. It is God who speaks to us. It is God who is coming to us. But we're going to miss it unless we pause for a moment. Quiet all the outside noise and focus. What does He just say? What does it mean? And we ask God, show us. Help me to understand. Help me to block out the distractions for this moment. Help me to see. And if we can develop this attitude, God's not going to reveal it all to us at once. As I say, it generally goes step by step. Just as the life of Christ, He grew in age and grace and wisdom before God and man, so He must begin to grow in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds, in age and grace and wisdom. But this is only going to happen if we go beyond just memorizing the words, just hearing the words. We have to go beyond just listening to St. John, the voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. We have to go beyond just hearing the voice, hearing the noise, repeating the words, the sounds. We have to ponder. What does it mean? What is God saying to me? And when we begin to do that, we begin to see Christ. We begin to find Him all around us. He begins to show us more and more. And then I can say we truly love God. We become like Mary, who truly loved the Son of God, her only begotten Son. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen.